Hebrews chapter 12. And we're going to read the first three verses. Verse 12, being verse 1, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Let's pray. Dearly Father, we just thank you for your word once again, and we just thank you for your Son and all that he is for us. And we just pray you bless as we look into your word this morning. May you share with us truth that will help us in our current situation and that can transform our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Throughout this year, our focus has been on having 2020 spiritual vision, to see beyond the material and the temporal, to behold that which is spiritual and eternal. And it is not imagining what is not there. Instead, it is coming to grips with the reality that we have too long been oblivious to. It is having a full perspective of the world and the circumstances in which we find ourselves, in having all the necessary variables in the equation to come to the right conclusions and to have the right outlook on life. And what we're going through now, with the threat of the COVID-19 virus still hanging over us, we need this spiritual vision now more than ever. We need to learn to look at life through the eyes of faith. And having been considering the idea of seeing God, we've looked at that, and over the last several weeks, we've focused specifically on the thought of seeing the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And that brings us to this passage in Hebrews chapter 12. The preceding chapter speaks over and over again of those who governed their decisions and their lives by faith, and how their faith enabled them to experience the deliverance and blessings of God in their lives. For some, their faith enabled them to achieve great victories. For others, it gave them the strength to endure the most difficult of circumstances. All these men and women of faith from the past serve as this great cloud of witnesses that encompasses us, that challenges us to faith as well. These men and women of faith were misunderstood, mocked, and scorned in their day, but time proved them to be men and women of vision who saw what others did not, and who ended up on the right side of history because of their faith in God. And in the same way, we need not fear what others may think of us. In faith, we need to move forward and embrace the race that God has set for us to run. Each of us has a race set before us. We don't all have the same race. We're not going to all go through the same things necessarily. There are things that the men and women of faith in the past had to contend with and pass through that we have not. And there are things we have to contend with and pass through in our day that they did not. And as well, we're not running a short race, but a long one. Our lives are not a sprint, but a marathon. And so we need to run our race with patience. We struggle to endure. We tend to get weary and faint in our minds, but we need to stay at it, and we need to find the means by which we can do so. And so our focus needs to be on running our race. And to do that, two things are necessary. First, we have to lay aside all those things in our lives which hinder us from running our race effectively. We understand this, whether it's a high school track and field competition or whether it's the Olympics. You don't see the competitors line up at the starting blocks wearing backpacks or holding dumbbells in their hands. Why? Because it would slow them down. It would impede their progress. And as well, we realize that those that are competing, they try to stay in the best shape possible because they don't want to be carrying around any extra body weight when they run. And in the same way, we can't be running the race of life being burdened down by the unnecessary and the counterproductive. There are things that we need to let go of because all they're doing is impeding our progress. We only have so much time and energy in each day. We cannot afford to spend that time and energy in unprofitable pursuits. We need to redeem the time because the days are evil. The devil wants to burden us down as much as he can with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. God, on the other hand, wants us to cast all our burdens on him so that we're free from them and that we can keep on running. Now, there are many things in this life that are not evil in and of themselves, but there are things which definitely are no good in our lives at any level. And that is why we see the writer say that we are also to lay aside the sin which doth so easily beset us. And I think all of us tend to have a place of moral weakness, a vice that we struggle with to keep from indulging in, and it's probably different for each of us. But we think of that thing that for some it might be a drug or an alcohol addiction. For some it might be worry or anger or bitterness. But we realize that this often has a power in our lives. It keeps us from progressing in life as we should, and often it fills us with guilt and shame. And we realize that Christ came to save us from our sins, to set us free from sin's bondage. And so we need to take the necessary step to confess and forsake those sins so that we can move forward unencumbered. That, of course, is easier said than done. These sins do so easily beset us. And beset means to press on all sides so as to perplex, or to entangle so as to render escape difficult or impossible. And it's a thing, with some of these sins that do so easily beset us, we might have been struggling with overcoming these for years, perhaps most of our life, without finding victory. That we see this problem that we have, we know that it has to go, but as Paul spoke of in Romans chapter 7, we have that war within us that's going on, where we want to do right, but our flesh just keeps seeming to pull us back in. But yet we know if we really want to move forward in life, we need to break free from those besetting sins. And so how do we do that? And that brings us to the second thing necessary for running our race, which we want to be focusing on for the remainder of our time together this morning. And that is a thought that we need to be looking unto Jesus. And it's interesting that this is the only place in the entire Bible that the Greek word translated here as looking, aphorao, is found. And it means to turn one's eyes away from other things and fix them on something else. And that is what we're being called to do. And that really is the secret to gaining victory over those besetting sins of ours. We turn our focus away from the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life. We turn away from sin and bad habits to fix our eyes upon Jesus. He needs to fill our vision. By faith, we need to be looking unto him. And so, this morning I want to consider this thought in four different ways. First, we want to be looking unto Jesus as our Savior. That we are all in need of a Savior to save us from our sins, to save us from ourselves. And we cannot save ourselves. All our efforts to do so are in vain. We try to find many things in life that will deliver us from our problems, that will take away our guilt and shame. And so often those things that we find, that we attempt, we grab hold of them thinking they'll help us, they actually make our problem worse. They bring us into greater bondage. And essentially, we pray to gods that cannot save us. And that is why we see the word of the Lord in Isaiah chapter 45 and verse number 22, where he says this, says, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." But that's what God calls to all people all over the world, to look unto Him and be saved. That He is the one true God and He wants to save us. No matter where we're from, no matter what our background is, no matter what we've done, He wants us to come to Him for salvation. And we realize that is why Jesus had to come to this earth to die for our sins on the cross of Calvary. If there was another way for Him to be saved, for us to be saved, then He wouldn't have had to go through that. And that's what we see when He was in the garden, where He said to His Father, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And the fact that He went through it is a sign that there was no other way, that it was necessary. And so that's why we read in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 27 and 28, it says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation." And that's the thing, is that He died once for all to bear our sins. And if we look for Him, we look unto Him for salvation, that we can find salvation in Him. That we think in the Old Testament of situation with Moses in the wilderness with the children of Israel, where they had complained and they were being plagued because of it. And then He made this serpent of brass, and He put it up on a pole, and He told the people if they were to... Oh yeah, they were not... It wasn't a plague, they were bitten by serpents. But He put this serpent on a pole, and He said unto them, if they would look upon the serpent, they would live. And so, just as a serpent was lifted up in the wilderness in the days of Moses, so was Jesus lifted up on the cross of Calvary, so He might draw all men unto Himself. And we must, in faith, look to Him and look in what He did for us in giving His life for us, and looking to Him in faith and losing sight of everything else, of all our good works and our different religious things that we do, that they're not going to save us. They're not going to cleanse away our sin, that only the blood of Jesus can do that. And so we look to Him in faith as the only way of salvation for us. That He did all that was necessary to provide us with salvation. That's why just before He died, He said the words, "It is finished." There wasn't anything more that had to do. It isn't like we have to try to keep things going. We've got to still be good in order to make sure we stay saved. That instead we know that we're have our salvation settled forever when we trust in Christ as our Savior. And that's the thing, we don't need to look to ourselves or to anyone or anything else for our salvation. That we look unto Jesus in faith as our Savior. But secondly, we need to look unto Jesus as our source of strength in running the race of life. That we can't live life in our own strength. That we falter, we fail, we grow weary, we get discouraged. That I think all of us, we have that, where we're doing well, but we get to a point where we get wore out and we easily fall back into our old habits. We don't make the progress that we hope that we should. That we struggle to be able to keep going on the right track, to be able to endure during difficult times. And so we need Jesus to sustain us and to enable us to endure. And we can look at many other things. We can read a lot of self-help books, try to develop various strategies, which can all have some benefit. But we want to understand, if we're really going to make progress, if we're really going to move forward and grow and mature in life, if we're really going to turn the corner in our lives, that we need Jesus' help, that we need to be connected with Him, to have fellowship with Him, to have Him enabling us and empower us. He said in John chapter 15 that without Him that we can do nothing. But on the other hand, as Paul declares in Philippians 4 verse 29, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin, and having been tempted, He is able and willing to run to our aid and give us the help that we need when we're struggling. And too often we look to so many other things, but instead we need to have, again, a singular focus. We need to look unto Him in faith for the grace to help in time of need. Thirdly, and I think this one is the one that's most clearly seen in this passage in Hebrews 12. So we need to look unto Jesus as our example. Because yes, He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And having done that, we realize that He has left us an example that we might follow in His steps. That we are in need of patience and endurance in life. At all times in life, but especially with what we're dealing with right now. When we look upon the life of Jesus, we see Him exemplifying a tremendous endurance in the face of terribly difficult circumstances. Think about it. He suffered betrayal. He suffered rejection, injustice, abuse, torture, and death, but He did not react in anger. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 22 and 23, we read, it says of Jesus that He did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. When He was reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judges righteously. And so, He endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, as it says there in verse 3 of Hebrews 12. And contradiction is here speaking of the idea of opposition. It can be by words, by reproach, by attempts to defeat. And He had many that opposed Him and stood against Him. But we want to consider Him. We want to consider how He was able to maintain His composure and have the strength to endure such difficult circumstances. And in this passage here, we really see the key to Christ's endurance in verse 2. Because it says of Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That what He was going through was not all that pleasant. And that's why we saw Him the night before praying to His Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But yet, we see on the other side of it, He could see joy. He knew that by going through this time of intense suffering and death, that He was going to provide a way of salvation for all mankind. That He was going to provide a way where death and the devil could be defeated. Whereby by His death we could live. That for all of us, that we would have a way of forgiveness and cleansing from our sins. That we could be restored to a relationship with God. That we could be adopted into God's family as His brothers and sisters. And so by Jesus' suffering and death, He has been able to bring many sons unto glory. He's been able to ensure that all who trust in Him might have a heavenly home with Him throughout eternity. And so we think of that joy of what was to come as a result of His sacrifice. That was His motivation. And that joy that was set before Him, that He stayed focused on that. And that enabled Him to endure. And so, following His example, we can have that same mindset to keep us going. We think of this time of self-isolation that we're in. And I think all of us, at times, have been getting a little stir-crazy. But nevertheless, we know that we're doing it for a reason. It is so that when we get to the other side of this and we can meet together again, we're all going to still be here. Our family, friends, and members of our community are too precious to lose any of them to this dreadful disease. It would be so sad to emerge from this time and find so many people gone. When we get to the end of this, when we get to see each other again, when we get to invite people over for supper and meet in the park and have school again, have church together in person instead of online, that's going to be a time of rejoicing. So with that thought in mind, we can endure this challenging time with all its various restrictions. We can get through this, and we know it's going to be worth it in the end as we do. And of course, we realize in so many other areas of life, the example Christ gives us provides us the ability to endure. That we think of it in this way, that God calls us to share His truth with those around us. And as we do so, like Jesus, we often face resistance, ridicule, and even rejection. And for that reason, we may be tempted to draw back and choose silence rather than risk that negative reaction. But yet we realize that Jesus is the only hope of salvation for all mankind. That people need to know. Someone needs to tell them. And if we have the truth, that we have an obligation to share. And yes, we may experience some rejection at different times. But if we see someone come to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, that is great cause for rejoicing. And it makes whatever abuse we suffered seem as no big deal. We think of what Jesus says in Luke chapter 15 and verse 10. So he says, "Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." That we think of that, of just the joy that is in heaven when someone passes from death unto life. That is a joyful thing and should be joyful to us. And just that joy of seeing someone trust the Lord as their Savior, where we know that even though they might pass in eternity, we might pass in eternity, there's going to be that great reunion in heaven that we'll see them again and we'll never be parted anymore. That's a blessing, a joy that motivates us to share God's truth, even if we suffer some negative reactions in this time. I'm reminded of the old hymn titled "May the Circle Be Unbroken," and what that hymn speaks of is this idea that of our circle of friends and family. When kind of we step into eternity, and that there's not going to be anyone missing, that we've all come to know the Lord as Savior, we've all entered into the glories of heaven through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we're all present. And that's the thought, that we endure the health restrictions right now, regardless of the frustration they might be in the present, so that circle would not be broken here on earth. But much more, we share the gospel and the truth of God's word, regardless of what negative pushback we might get, so that as we pass from this life into eternity, that we would all be together to rejoice around the throne, that no one would be missing. And yes, of course, we know that salvation is a personal decision each of us has to make. But certainly that's why we need to give our all now and be patient in sharing God's truth so that all around us would have the opportunity to come to know the Lord as their personal Savior. And really, our willingness to endure their taunts and scorn demonstrates the depth of our love for them. And that can do much to turn their hearts toward the Savior. The fact that we still love them, we still keep trying, that at a time they might be frustrated with us, but it might come where they realize, hey, they care. That's why they keep trying. And so we need to keep trying and be willing to endure contradiction of others, endure some of the shame and reproach for the name of Christ because of that joy that's set before us, of thinking of a person getting saved and thinking in eternity that we're either they welcome us into heaven or we welcome them into heaven, that they're there and that we can be together forever after. And so finally, we need to look unto Jesus not just as our Savior, not just as our strength, and not just as our example, but also as the goal that we're striving for, as our finish line that we're seeking to cross. Romans 8, verse 29, we know that it talks about that God has a plan for each of us. And that plan is to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's the whole focus of that we're to become like Christ. And that's really the name Christian. That was a name given to believers in Antioch because people called them little Christ. They were just like Jesus. And we want to realize the verse preceding in Romans verse 28, it talks about that we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. That purpose being Christ-likeness, being conformed to the image of His Son. That all these things happen and these trials and challenges, that they don't seem to be good things in the moment, but we know that they work together for good because they help to develop Christ-likeness in us. Right? That if we're going to become like Christ, that we may have to go through some things like Christ did. Whether it's being misunderstood, being rejected by others, being reproached, having to patiently endure different things that we'd rather run away from. But those are all to develop Christ-likeness. They help get us further on the path. As we pass these tests, it's like a milestone that we've passed, that we know we're that much closer to the finish line. We read in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, it says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure." And so it's a thought given there that one day we're going to be changed into His image when He comes again. And that is a blessed hope that we have. And so because we have that hope, that now we spend our time purifying ourselves. That we allow these challenges, these trials, to be like a refiner's fire, to burn away the dross, to purify the gold of Christian Christ-like character in our lives. And so it is a time where we have need of patience right now, and we need to let patience have its perfect work in us so that we would be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. That even this thought, we realize, gives us motivation to endure in difficult times. Because when we think of the transformation God can work in us so that we can emerge through trials as being kinder, wiser, stronger, more compassionate people, people more like Jesus, that in itself is a joy that we can set before us to help us to endure the difficulties now. And so in this life there is so much that the devil puts into this world to distract us. And if we're going to endure, if we're going to run the race of our lives with patience, we need to do so with the eyes of faith. And we need to have Jesus as our singular focus. That He is our Savior, He is our source of strength, He is our example to follow, and He is the goal that we strive for. And so may we lay aside all that weighs us down and encumbers us, and let us look unto Jesus so that we may run well. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You for your word. We thank you for the example that your son has given to us, and we thank him, you, for sending him to us to be our Savior. And Lord, we just pray you'd help us, Lord, in this time to have patience, to endure, and to keep growing and allowing these trials not to make us bitter, but instead to make us better, to transform us and refine us so that we are more what you would want us to be as your people. Just bless us this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're going to